Have your Bibles. I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy the 15th verse. Paul is instructing the young pastor Timothy on things, basically how to conduct a church. And he tells him in verse 15, he says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We humble ourselves and just ask you, Lord, to teach us. Show us your ways, God, that we would walk in them, that our lives would reflect you so powerfully that it just attracts the outside world to your love, to your grace, to your mercy. And Father, we too may rejoice with the angels in heaven over that one that finds you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled my message this morning, "Know for Sure." Know for Sure. Bible study is such an important part of our Christian walk. It is part of that entwining, that twisting together, that getting to know God in the intimate way. And as Paul was telling Timothy study this way, first of all, he said some very important things here that I want to look at. But I want you to understand that when he said this to Timothy, Timothy did not have the New Testament. That surprise anyone? Timothy didn't have the New Testament. Paul was talking about the Old Testament, the old scriptures, the prophets. He was talking about studying God's ways. Why? Because God's ways never change. They're the same. His word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They haven't changed. People who are trying to change God's ways just don't, they don't know God, because God's ways just don't change. And so Paul was telling Timothy, study it out. Know for sure what God says. You know, if we don't know what God says, it's real easy to be deceived, amen? And I'll tell you, I would never personally try to deceive you, but if you listen to me and that's the only word of God you get, guess what? You don't know for sure, do you? Oh, I think he's right. I think he's telling me the truth, but I don't know. That's how we end up drinking the Kool-Aid. And that, you know, that's a terrible thing, because there's so many people that are so deceived out there on what the word says, because they never pick it up for themselves and say, did that preacher say that? And is that really in the word? But how do we know? We need to know what we know. We don't need to listen to the preachers and say, well, that's what God said. We need to listen to the preachers and say, back in here, yep, that's what God said, and it says it right here, so he's telling me the truth. Amen? And the more we get to doing that, the more we get to really getting in and studying God's word, and the hunger begins to grow. And we begin to get a hunger for God's word. And the next thing you know, we're hearing God's word speak to us. And we begin to pray, and we get that intimate relationship. Then when the enemy comes against us, guess what? He can't fool us. He can't get us thinking like, did God really say that? Did God really say that, you know, we must be born again? Did God really say the only way to heaven is through Jesus? Did God really say these things? So I want to take us into exactly what Paul is telling Timothy here. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. So I want to take us to the first word here, study. Now, we think we know what study means, but let's look what the Greek says. The Greek word is spoudazo, and it means to use speed, that is to make an effort, to be prompt or earnest, to do or to give diligence, to be diligent, to endeavor, to labor, to study. Now, does that sound like a passive way? No. He's telling us to be diligent, to look at it, to really see what it says. When we study something, that means we're really looking at what it says, what it's about, and we're getting it inside of our spirits. We're getting it to know that that we know that we know. And when we know, we can't be deceived. Amen? And then he says to show. Study to show. Now the word show is the Greek word peristamia. Peristami. Peristano. It could be either way. And it means to stand beside, that is to transit. To exhibit, to proffer, specifically to recommend, figuratively to substantiate, or intransitively to be at hand or ready, to aid, to assist, to bring before, command, commend, to give, presently present, to prove, to provide, show, stand. So in other words, make it where there's an assurity there. Are you guys understanding what I'm trying to say here? There's an assurity there. It's not something that you can be swayed some different way. Why? Because you know the truth. You know what God said. You know that he didn't say, you know, you could go ride a Ferris wheel four times and now you're in heaven. Come on now. All right. I want to make sure you're listening to me. You know there's a proof there because you've studied it out. Then he uses the word approved. Now, first off, I want to say that it says approved to the pastor. Well, at least one person doesn't believe it. The word says approved unto the pastor. Did it not?
Nope.
All right, come on. No, it says approved unto God. You're not trying to prove yourself to me or to RB or to anyone else. You're proving yourself unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. And the proved is the word dokimos, and it means properly acceptable. Approved. That's pretty straightforward there. And then he says, a workman. Uh-oh, there's that word we don't want to hear. We got to do something with it. A workman that need not be ashamed. Now, the word workman is the Greek word ergastos, and it means a toiler. But figuratively, it means a teacher. A teacher. In other words, I take what I know and I teach those around me, especially those outside of God's love, outside of His grace, those that we see that they're on their way to hell and we know it. And we share, we teach. Why? Because we know the truth. You guys aren't getting very excited this morning. But then the last part of this, rightly dividing. This is so important. Rightly dividing is the Greek word, I'm going to butcher this, but orthotomeo. Orthotomeo. And it's a compound of two words, the base of one and it means to make a straight cut. That is, figuratively, to dissect, to expound, to correctly divide the divine message. Now, think about when you were in high school. How many of you were ever in high school? All right. And think about science class. And they brought out this tray and there's a frog on it. And they gave you this little knife. And they wanted you to get all the little parts of the frog out. And so you made that straight cut. And you found all the little parts of the frog and you named them. That's what Paul is telling Timothy to do. Make a straight cut in the Word of God. Find all those little things that God is telling you to do, that God wants you to share with other people, that God is explaining Himself to be. Find all those little things and explode them out. Display them for everyone to see. Getting awful quiet in here. To make that dissection so that we know for a fact what God is saying. So when somebody does bring up the Kool-Aid, we'll say no thanks. No thanks, that's not God's word. Or whatever it is. Whatever they're trying to claim that God said. Because if God didn't say it, it's not in His word. It's not in our best interest, amen? Because the enemy's not our friend. The enemy is at war with your soul. He wants to take you with him. He doesn't want you to go to heaven with God. So he's going to try to deceive you. And if I never pick this book up and I never speak to God in my prayer time and I never get to know exactly what God is saying, it's easy to deceive. Matthew, the 4th chapter. In Matthew 4, we find Jesus. He is led into the desert. And he's being tempted of Satan. And after he's been tempted, he says, answer Satan every single time, it is written. Until he tells him to get behind him. But in the fourth verse, that's the word I'm looking for. My mind went blank. I'm looking at it right here. I knew it was there, but I couldn't say the word. In the fourth verse, thank you, brother. Wow. In the fourth verse, he says, He's being tempted to make stones bread, and he says this. Now, this is after 40 days of fasting. Anybody think he was hungry? Yeah, I think he was hungry. And he's being tempted to make bread, a stone into bread to fulfill his hunger. And he said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that the preacher preaches. No, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just the ones we want, not just the ones that are pleasant to our feelings today, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means the entire thing. Oh, but brother, you don't understand. I don't like that verse over here. It said, I don't care. It's by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's there not to restrict us. You know, God's word was never put in place to restrict us, but to encourage us and to keep us in that fellowship with Him. Even in the Garden of Eden, His word wasn't there to restrict Adam and Eve. His word was there to protect them. What a fabulous place it would be if nobody knew the difference between good and evil, because evil didn't affect us. Anybody like that? Well, that'd be a great place to be, amen? It's what heaven's going to be like, the restoration of that relationship that way. Every word that proceeds from God's mouth is profitable to us. So many times, though, we just want to pick and choose what we like. I mean, I have my favorite scriptures, but I can't discard the rest of them because they don't make me feel good. In John, the 8th chapter, Jesus says this, John 8, verse 32. It would help if I got an 8, wouldn't it? Knew it didn't look right. Jesus says this. Actually, I'll back up into 31. It says, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Anybody free in here this morning? All right, we're waking up a little bit. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I wasn't free. And when I came to know the truth and found Jesus as my Savior, I became free. And I got the joy of the Lord, and things changed in my life. Why? Because I heard the truth. There was someone who shared that. There was someone who had already dissected it and shared it with me. And showed me God's love. And then I started finding it for myself. And I found out how really true and free I am. But to know the truth, we have to get into the Word of God for ourselves. We can't rely on the pastors. We can't rely on the TV evangelist or the YouTube evangelist nowadays or the radio evangelist, however we hear. We can't rely on them alone. A lot of good ones out there. But there's some snakes out there. There's some snakes out there. But that snake can't get to us if we know the truth. Because the truth has set us free. The truth has we come to the place where when we know the truth, now there's nothing that can affect us. The same way it was with Jesus in the wilderness. He said, "It is written." Why? Because he knew the truth. Satan couldn't fool him into believing that he could change things and make them fit what was comfortable at the moment. And yet, some people try to do that. Psalm 119. Verse 11. So I got the word this time. Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." But the thing of it, I can't hide something in my heart if I don't know the truth. If I don't know God's word, I can't hide it in my heart to protect me from the enemy that wants to deceive me. If I don't get into this word, how do I know? How do you know? It's impossible for me to really articulate how important it is to know the Word of God for yourself. There's no words that can stress the importance. It's something that we have to start finding out, and as we read, all of a sudden, you know, the word becomes alive. How many of you have ever read a verse that you've read maybe hundreds of times, and all of a sudden you're reading that verse and something just jumps out at you? That's because the word is alive. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce asunder the bones and the marrow. Because it's alive, and because it's alive, we need to devour it so that that truth becomes implanted in us so deep that we can't be deceived. So that word becomes implanted in us so deep that when we come into those situations where someone says, "Well, I just don't know what to do," we've got the Word of God that the Holy Spirit can bring back to our remembrance and say, "Well, this is what the Word of God says." Those divine encounters that I hope everybody is coming into contact with pretty much on a daily basis. Those divine encounters that give us the opportunity to share God's love to a person that just doesn't know. Those divine opportunities that are able to take us to a person that's bound by whatever and watch them set free so that I can rejoice with the angels in heaven. The word says the angels rejoice over one soul that comes to repentance. Amen? Well, if the angels are rejoicing, I should be too. Amen? And I really get to rejoice when I'm the one that shares the word with them, and they finally see the truth, and the truth begins to set them free. So those divine appointments, if I don't know the word of God, and, you know, someone says, "Well, what about this or what about that?" And I don't have an answer for them. And I've not studied the scriptures. And someone says, "Well, How do I get to heaven? I don't know. Go talk to the preacher. He'll tell you. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. It can work that way, you know, but it's not supposed to. I remember one time we were pastoring in Oroville, California, and a guy comes up to me that was over at the grocery store, and he was working there, and so we had a little bit of a relationship, and he walks up to me one day, and he says, "You know, Pastor, I'm kind of mad at this particular person. They were telling me about God, and they said, they told me I had to be born again to get to heaven." He says, I'm a little angry about that." I said, "Really? Well, tell me a little bit about it." So he tells me a little about it, and I says, "Well," he says, I think it's John 3:16 is the only important thing." I said, "Oh, you like John. You like John 3. And he says, "Yeah, John 3:16, that's the way it is." I said, "Great. I want you to go back. I want you to read John 3 from verse 1. And the first part of John 3, if you're not familiar with it, Nicodemus is coming to Jesus. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says plain and clearly, "You must be born again." And I was able, without telling him that, I was able to share that. Well, he went back and he read John 3. He comes back to me and says, "Pastor, you deceived me." he said, "Jesus said you had to be born again." I said, "Yes. And whoever told you that is speaking truth to you. And we just want you to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. It's the truth that will drop those chains of bondage that the enemy's got on you. It's the truth that will get you into heaven." But see, if I hadn't known that John 3 said that, I could have never shared that with him in that way. I'd have had to start looking things up and saying, "Well, how can I, you know?" But the more that we study this word, the more we hide the word of God in our hearts, as the psalmist said, the more that we are in communion with God in his word and in prayer, the more we learn. I'll put a plug in for Sunday school, folks. I think Sunday school is one of our most important parts of our service. Because that's where we learn so much. I really think everyone should be in Sunday school. If you disagree with me, oh well. I've been disagreed with before. That's okay. But we learn so much, and we start to retain those things in our spirit. And when we have those things in our spirit, even if we can't recall, Jesus said, "When I send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he will bring all things to your remembrance that I have taught you." So everything we learn, it may be up here. You know, scientists tell us that we can remember every single thing we've ever heard or seen. I wish I was there. Couldn't even remember the word for verse. But it's up. It's up there. And if it goes from up there to up here, or down here, whichever you want to call it, then the Holy Spirit can bring it to our remembrance when we need it for the situation that's at hand. And oh, Boy, could we see our valley change? Could we see the fire of God begin to fall in this place? Could we see men, women, boys, and girls coming to Jesus in droves? Oh, but we have to do our part. So I'm encouraging you today, get into the Word of God. Don't take somebody's, not even my, don't take my word for it or anybody else's. Get into the Word of God. Amen. We have so many tools available to us. How many of you know I'm not a Greek scholar? I can't just sit there and open a Greek New Testament or a Greek lexicon and start reading it to you and translating it. I don't have that skill. But there are those that do. And because they've made that available, and today, oh man, today it's even better because I can pull out my phone at any time. I can scroll up here and I can go to Strong's Concordance and find any word I want to. I can go to Vine's Concordance. I can find anything I want to. There's no possible reason that I can be deceived if I just apply myself a little bit. It's become so easy. And if you don't have those apps, get them on your phone. They're free. Get them on your phone. Get them on your pad, on your computer, whatever you have. And if you don't have any of the electronic devices, go online, or, well, I guess you can't go online if you don't have electronic devices. Go to the bookstore. Buy them in hard copy. I've got them in hard copy too. You can buy what they call an interlineal Bible that has the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic right there next to the English translation. Learn to use the tools that are available to you. Would you take your car to a mechanic if you looked in his toolbox and the only thing he had was a crescent wrench and a hammer? I didn't think so. I wouldn't want him working on my car. We have so many tools available, folks. There's no reason at all that we can't know the truth. There's no reason at all that we have to walk in uncertainty and in darkness. There's no reason at all, because I've got the Word of God. And I can take and I can make sure that what I'm reading is what I'm reading. Why? Because I've got the tools. That's why I put them up here. I want you to know that when I tell you what a Greek word means, that's what it means. If it's a Hebrew word, I want you to know that that's what it means. And sometimes, because of the differences in the way we talk now, and they talk back when they translated it, the concept isn't quite clear. But when we begin to go to the Word and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, it becomes clear what God is saying. Amen? I want to ask the prayer team to come forward this morning. If you have a need this morning, we have men and women who are prayer warriors. Amen? They will pray with you. They will pray for you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I know every one of these can help you make that find. Every one of these men and women can show you how to go from bondage into freedom, from slavery into freedom. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to come up, talk to one of them. If you have a need in your body, whether it's physical or financial or emotional, we'll pray with you. But it's just like the word. You've got to apply it. You've got to take that step. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. God, we just ask you to illuminate places that we need illumination. Clarity where we need clarity, Father. Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit to move on this congregation in a powerful way. That your glory would begin to shine out from this place. So that those around us that have questions would feel comfortable coming to us and want to know the truth. Because they want freedom also. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The altars are open. If you have a need, again, come this morning.